Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Howdy, everybody. Good evening. Late night, a little after 10 o'clock here on a Tuesday night, cut down day, and also Hard Knocks reaction show. Last week, Matt and I came here and said, that was the best episode yet. I'm not quite sure I feel the same way about this episode, Matt. Not that there's anything wrong with it necessarily, but it wasn't quite as impactful, I guess, as last week.
It was an episode that we all watched together, and everybody is allowed to have their own opinions on what they think of the episode. I will stand by that last episode was my favorite episode so far.
Yeah, I mean, and that's okay. You know, not every episode is going to live to the same standard or, have the same pizzazz, I guess, in a lot of ways. I thought this one was interesting for a different way, though, that maybe some other people felt differently, which was there was a lot of the football here, which is really good. And I think a lot of people like that. They like to see the inside stuff with football. But we didn't see a lot of the off-field stuff like we did over the last several episodes. Connor McGovern, yes, we did see, you know, Zach Davidson and the bike riding and things like that. But, you know, I thought this one was, and maybe again, I'll go back to what I said really early on the Hard Knocks reactions. And this is totally personal because of your perspective. We live it every day with the football stuff, right? We see what's going on in the football field. So the stuff that we don't see, when I see it, it hits a little bit differently than the stuff that I'm a part of already.
The thing that was a little strange to me was how much it focused on players who got cut. And we'll talk about the players that got cut. And I know that it's trying to pull at your heartstrings and all of those guys who are fighting for roster spots. It just felt a week too late because they already got cut. most of them. And no spoilers if you haven't watched the episode, but I mean, we're going to be talking about the 53-man roster as well. And a lot of this episode was about players like Zach Davidson and KJ Hamler and Jimmy Charlo. And they all got cut, which is what we're going to talk about after we briefly just, I don't feel like we're going to really even talk about the episode that much because it wasn't, there wasn't a lot there. And the one thing I was kind of paying attention to or waiting for was if they would address the Trey White injury that happened in the stadium and didn't even mention it, like not even a blip, just like smell you later, on to the next thing.
Yeah. So I think the first part of that with the cuts happening today as we talk, but the episode ending, that's just timing, right? There's nothing they could do. If cuts were tomorrow, we would see some of that. I would think, but roster cut down where it was today at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And sure, they could have definitely added some from yesterday when we did get some word early on, some guys, but that's just timing, right? You and I both work in this business, and you especially on the TV side understand how the production has to kind of go and flow. So that was a little tough for them to include all that. It'll happen next week, but it'll be a week later than what we already know. So that'll be interesting to see how they piece all that together. I agree with you about Tre'Davious White. I think it was very clear the Bills just did not want anything out there about this injury. We've already not really heard much about it. We still don't know much about it. Hopefully, when we hear from Brandon Bean tomorrow, which we will, down at the stadium at 2:30 p.m., we'll get a little more clarity. We can read into some things about the roster with Tre'Davious White, but they clearly did not want that as a part of a storyline here in Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and it was interesting because then it made me feel like maybe there's more there than we're giving credit for. But then the roster moves that they made today, I think, then counteract that a little bit, because I thought that if there was a serious injury to Tre'Davious White, then maybe, obviously, like they were going to talk about. I don't know. I was waiting for something, just because it feels like there's been such little clarity, and the schedule and the timing has also played a factor there. Like if there was the preseason game and Brandon Bean did the interview with Josh Reed before the game, there really wasn't much in that interview. Then there was the post-game comments and there wasn't a lot there. So I'm just kind of waiting on this Trey White stuff. And then I was hoping we were going to get something in this episode, and then we ultimately didn't.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about the 53-man roster, and I think maybe ultimately mostly talk about the 53-man roster here on this episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Welcome in, Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. Today was cut down day around the league, not just the Bills. We waited quite a while for the Bills to get their actual roster moves. It happened, I believe, at 6:01, which is the exact same time it happened 2 years ago. Last year was 5:16 p.m. This year was 6:01 p.m. So, this is when we find out who made the final 53 roster, the active, the reserve, all of that. And there is definitely some stuff to get to. Just any lingering thoughts on this episode before we move on, because we'll do that.
Well, somebody made a comment about the biometric throwing stuff. And I thought that was interesting.
I think
that was something, you know, we often get to see in the field house, just because a lot of the times they do press conferences in the field house and they'll be working off to the side and doing that. And it's always really interesting because you've got all these little tripods set up in a circle. And I think the first time we all saw it, we're like, ooh, what's going on over there? So I liked the behind the scenes stuff. I really thought it was interesting about how Chris Hess said that first Josh was like a chucker, like he was chucking a rock. And then he became a thrower and now he's a passer. And you show the evolution of a quarterback and how much he cares and how dedicated to his craft he ultimately is. So that to me was, I think, the highlight of the episode. And, you know, like the KJ Hamler stuff, like that guy has been through a lot. The Jimmy Charlo stuff, like these are guys who I think are relatively easy to root for. And I would imagine the Bills are hoping that they get all of these guys back on the practice squad in some capacity by the time anybody listens or watches this. If you're not watching or listening live, we'll probably know the answer to that, because, right, we should have the practice squad by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, so, for sure. I'll go over the operation of how it works. Let me get to a couple of comments here. This is from Beast, who says Shavers was such an obvious story. I don't know how Hard Knocks failed to include him. And I agree with that, but I would say that it's probably because they didn't know if he's going to make the team or not. That's more for next week. And maybe I would say, Beast, you get more about Tyrell Shavers next week and actually making the roster. This is one interesting one. I hope Jimmy makes the practice squad, but someone might scoop him up. 17 days and the dude looked pretty darn good. Hey, look, definitely an argument for that, Jimmy. I would say, though, chances are still unlikely. This is a guy that I don't know if a team would say we need to have him on our 53, right? I mean, that's what you have to do. If you scoop him up, he's got to go right to your 53-man roster. And who knows? Maybe a team could use a guy like that. He's an undersized linebacker, but he's so versatile and he's so disciplined, and we know that. And, you know, that was that was really cool to see the evolution of Jimmy Charlo since he came to the Buffalo Bills right before the Giants game.
Yeah, for sure. Also crazy, like the stuff about his dad, how he hadn't been on a plane before before Jimmy was born.
Amazing.
Coming out and watching him in that game. You know, it just shows how much, obviously, those people care. Sorry if I'm a tad scatterbrained right now. I'm in the middle of a fantasy football draft.
Oh, my.
I'm doing a vampire fantasy league. Have you ever heard of this?
I have, and we played one at WGR a few years ago, but it didn't quite go as well as we had hoped. Uh-huh. It seemed really hard for the... I think it was the vampire always won, right? Because I got to choose the people off your team or something. It was just, yeah, something.
So the vampire doesn't get to draft a team, but they get to pick up all the free agents and the waiver claims. And if they beat your team, then they can take someone off of your team and trade.
Yes.
So, you know, if the vampire, his team beats your team and you have Jamar Chase, they can say like, hey, here you go, have fun with, I don't know, Joshua Palmer, I'm going to take Jamar Chase, and then just kind of go on their way. So it feels like, I don't know, I wish I was the vampire, but I'm not. So I was trying to figure out the rules as I was doing the first couple minutes. So, but it's done now, so we're good, and I apologize.
No, that's okay. I did play in a vampire league a couple of years ago, but we did it, and then something was like, well, it didn't go as well as we thought, but that's okay. It was a new format for me. We have a lot of fantasy football drafts going on over this week. You do, I do, a lot of people in the chat box do. Thanks a lot for coming along. And by the way, you can always watch us, whether that's live right now on X, if you're watching us, but on YouTube at Sal Sports is the place there. You can also follow Matt, of course, and me at Sal Sports at Matt_Bove. And then you can listen to us, and whether we're live or not recorded, it doesn't matter. Make sure you subscribe to the pod, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate that. All right. So the Bills did trim their roster down to 53 players today. Matt, I will tell you, I'm very, I'm proud and happy to say I was very, very close to nailing it. The only thing that I had wrong was I did not realize the team would put Tylon Grable on IR to return. He has a concussion he's been dealing with. That's like 2 weeks old now. Mm-hmm. I had Cedric Van Pran Granger staying on PUP. Instead, it's him on the active roster, but Tylon Grable going on IR. Otherwise, I didn't think it was all that difficult, to be quite honest, except for a couple spots that Tyrell Shavers. Okay, I had him on. Mm-hmm. He made it. I think that really, honestly, this roster, the 53, it's kind of been made for a while, to be quite honest. Other than a spot or two you could debate, and if they were going to move on from somebody or try to look to trade from somebody at a spot like offensive line or defensive end, I think maybe as of a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't that difficult to really figure out who was going to make this team.
I don't disagree. I think I was 52 of 53. My miss was I had Cedric Van Pran Granger staying on the PUP. I thought Tylon Grable would be on the 53, but I included I excluded Ryan Vandermark. So I had that open spot and I did not include Vandermark. So he made it. I thought they might just keep Tylon Grable and Chase Lunt as their backup tackles, but with Grable going on the IR, everything else kind of made sense of what they were going to piece together. The big story, you know, a couple people have commented on it. The big story from the day is Shavers. Now, that's relative, because last year the big story was Buffalo Joe Andreessen, which people were so caught up in and invested in. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything like that this year. I mean, Buffalo Joe Andreessen checked all the boxes, right? Buffalo native, played at UB, undrafted, burst onto the scene without anybody kind of realizing that, hey, this guy is going to be somebody we need to watch. Tyrell Shavers has been here for a couple years, has come up short just a couple times, and then finally got over the hump. So kudos to him. That was the big story of the day to me with the 53-man roster was, hey, Shavers finally made it, good for him. And then the, oh, by the way, Max Hairston isn't going to play for at least the first month. That's not nothing.
That's right. It's also not totally surprising, right? So let's get to it now. I'm going to show you this on your screen. Hopefully everybody can see what we have here, and we'll try to give you this the best as possible. If you take a look at it, there's the 53-man roster as constructed by the Buffalo Bills. There we go. I had Tylon Grable. I made him make sure I color-coded everything correctly here. So take a look at this. If you look at where cornerback is, you will see at the very bottom, Max Hairston is color coded in hue, I guess, or whatever that color would be.
Yeah.
IR designated to return along with Tylan Grable. You also see in green, Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt. Now, what that means for all of them, let me go through the operation of this real quick, okay? So Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, we know, and we've known for a while, will miss six games because they're suspensions for PEDs. They do not count on the 53-man roster. After 4 weeks, they can begin practicing again with the club, but they're out 6 weeks. I have had a lot of people, Matt, ask me, what do you think happens after 6 weeks? My answer is, who the heck knows, right? I mean, like, we don't know what's going to happen after 6 weeks. Injuries will play a part in that. How guys are playing will play a part in that. As far as Hairston and Tylan Grable, they are out a minimum of 4 weeks. The tricky part with putting Max Hairston on IR to return, to me, it was always something we were going to do. But the tricky part was, now that they've done it, he can't practice for 4 weeks either, Matt. Like, even if he's kind of ready to start ramping up after week two or week three, they can't do it. They have to wait until week four to start him practicing, and then they can activate him within 21 days after he starts practicing. But he is going to miss the first 4 weeks of the season. This is also a byproduct of, I think, what we would think is encouraging news about Tre'Davious White, right? A, they released Dane Jackson, and they put Max Hairston on IR. Those are two outside corners. They did not do anything with Trey White except keep him on the 53. I think that's encouraging for him.
Do you think, I'm trying to be careful how I word this. How detrimental is all of this to Max Hairston's rookie season? When's the soonest he could make a realistic impact with this IR designation? What, after the bye week?
At least
week eight?
At least because you figure he's gotta be out 4 weeks. He can start practicing. They have a bye week in week six, so he's probably not playing week five or six. So he's probably not playing five or six. So week eight, really week eight for him and the other guys who are coming back are probably the earliest we'll even see him, you know, do anything. The other guys can't even come back till then. And then I don't know if he ever really truly makes an impact unless he's almost forced on the field, but maybe he gets to a point where he forces himself to be on the field because of what they're seeing from him. It's really, to answer your question, it's a very, very impactful injury for his rookie season, not unlike Cole Bishop last year.
Yeah, very similar. It's really discouraging because when the injury happened, there was the fear that it was a season-ending injury because it looked bad. Then the next day, the news comes out that, oh, by the way, it's going to probably be like a 3 to 5 week recovery. And I think all of us were like, okay, good. Best case scenario, it's not going to completely derail the season. But the further removed we have gotten from that, the worse the outlook has become, because now you start to realize all of the ramifications of him not being on the field for training camp, but also now not going to be able to get back up to speed for the first 4 weeks of the season, understanding the type of team that they are. They are in a very win now position where they can't really just have somebody come back out onto the field in week five and week six and just learn on the job. So yeah, it's tricky for Max Hairston. And I think that it puts even more pressure on the guys that they have. The question I was going to ask you is, because you brought up Dane Jackson, and I think Dane Jackson playing well into the Bucs game kind of told us that his status wasn't going to be, you know, a certainty. If Trey White is injured and can't play in week one or for the first couple weeks, who do you think starts opposite Christian Benford?
I think
it's Dorian Strong.
I don't. I think it's either Jamarcus Ingram or they elevate Dane Jackson if he is on the practice squad.
They elevate him, and
then he starts. But here is something that's been brought to my attention, which is right, that people keep bringing up. And I'm going to put this on the screen here for a second. Let's see. Hold on. I put it on here. Okay. Here we go. This is Sarah. Sarah says they will put Trey on IR tomorrow and sign Levi Wallace. Okay. The reason I'm bringing this up is it is possible that Tre'Davious White does go on IR tomorrow and he's only out four games because he made the 53. It's a great point, Sarah. Thank you. It's not out of the woods yet for that. Mm-hmm. And then if they do sign someone like Levi, who is in Buffalo, but apparently our colleagues, Elena Getzenberg and Catherine Fitzgerald,
said he's not expected
to sign, but he is a Buffalo. But the point I'm making here is the point from Sarah, which is it is true that they could make that move tomorrow. And they did this to keep him on the 53, but then he still goes on IR to return on IR tomorrow, and then he could return at some point in the season.
I just don't understand If he goes on IR tomorrow, what?
Then you could just make him an IR. Then he only has to miss four games again because he made the 53. He's already on the team. You get eight IR to return guys. Uh-huh. Two of them you can do before the 53 and just declare them.
One.
No, and then after that, you have six more for the rest of the year that at any time they go on IR, then when they're ready to come back, you say they're coming back and we want them back.
Okay. So what you're saying though is, but here's, I guess, my confusion. If you were just going to do that, why would you risk moving on from Dane Jackson? Because I mean, unless you know that you're getting him back, I mean, he's a veteran, right?
Here's why.
Because I know he's a veteran and he has the opportunity to just immediately be like, I'm coming back.
Correct. But here's why. Because if you keep Dane Jackson, you have to cut somebody else on the roster.
Sure. Yeah.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's for the roster spot.
I don't want to speculate too much because we don't know a ton. But I keep going back to when Brandon Bean was on Channel 4's pregame show,
mm-hmm.
and talking to Josh Reed, he referred to Trey White's injury as a little lower leg injury. If it was something substantial, I cannot imagine him using that wording, understanding how calculated in particular NFL teams are with what they say and how they say.
Agreed.
He was very like, it wasn't nothing, but he was like, yeah, he's dealing with a little lower leg injury and we still need to figure out more information on it. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but mm-hmm. that verbiage was used, little lower leg injury. And if it was something that was going to be a debilitating long-term injury, I don't think you're describing it as, oh yeah, it's a little lower leg injury.
That little injury though, could it be possible that it's not super long term, but it is a couple of weeks, and they figure maybe we still have to do this?
Here's my thing though, and I don't disagree with the Dane Jackson point, but I think the evidence that they showed us in the preseason game was how they value both Dorian Strong and Jamarcus Ingram. If you're willing to potentially lose Dane Jackson mm-hmm. in all of this, I don't think he's the option. I don't think he is the choice of we're going to elevate you and just immediately start you. I just don't think that's what they would do.
I think Dorian Strong is
one of their younger guys.
Third option in this scenario, though.
You think Dane is ahead of Dorian Strong?
In this scenario, if he signs back to the practice squad as a starter opposite, yes, I do. Not as a player on the team. I think as a starter in a pinch, I think he is. I think Jamarcus mm-hmm. Ingram is right there. It's fascinating. And let's just hope we don't get there. Let's hope that Tre'Davious White is okay. Mm-hmm. And he's playing against the Rams now. I mean, the Ravens. So, from Maggie, when can they sign players to the practice squad? That can really start doing that now, to be honest with you. Anybody who is not, anybody who is in the league, who has been in the league for more than four years or more, they're mm-hmm. free agents right now, and they can begin signing to a team's practice squad. Anybody who has been in the league less than 4 years that was released by the Bills or anybody else, they have to put waiver claims in on them. That starts at noon tomorrow. If they clear waivers, then they can start signing them. So that's why Matt and I and the other media, we will not hear from Brandon Bean until 2:30 tomorrow afternoon because they have to kind of have all that happen and then sign the practice squad, basically.
So let's go over some quick names, guys we think will be on the practice squad for sure. Jimmy Charlo, practice squad, yes?
Oh, yeah, I think okay. So. Jimmy Charlo is a perfect practice squad candidate. He's going to do everything you ask him to do and help everybody prepare.
Frank Gore Jr., yes?
Yes. I mean, they're not going to only have three running backs on the active roster and nobody on the mm-hmm. practice squad. So, yes.
Shane Buechele?
Good question. I think it's going to be Mike White, but I could see it as Shane Buechele. It's one
of
the other.
I think it might be both. I think it's going to be both.
I don't think so. I think it'll be. Now, I will say I was pretty staunch in that before the game, but the way Shane Buechele played, uh-huh. I could give it some space now. So okay. I'm not going to totally dismiss it, Matt, but I don't think they want to carry four quarterbacks.
I don't disagree with the theory. I just know how close Shane Buechele and Josh are and how close that quarterback room is. And if that means you have to keep one less defensive tackle in your practice squad, I think they might just be willing to, you know, deal yeah. with the ramifications of that. Somebody, Scott, just commented, Jordan Phillips. Yes.
Yeah. Let me get to him in a second real quick on the Dane discussion. Scott says, well, don't you only get three yes. elevations? Well, yeah, but I mean, you cross that third one when you come to it. If you mm-hmm. need them for a game or two, then those are the first two. So yes, you only get three, but it doesn't three. there's only 1 week at a time, right? And that's when you
the three elevations is a good point, though, with the Trey injury, because, for example, right. if the Bills know that Trey White is going to miss a game or two, you're like, okay, well, we got Dane for free for
that's
three
right.
elevations. That doesn't, to me, mean that he would start. It just means that you could elevate him as a depth option behind some of those other guys and not have to go out and add somebody to your active 53-man roster. So, yeah, that is a good point. Somebody put a Gosnell thing. Like, I think Gosnell's probably going to be like, he's just one of those players who just feels like he'll be on the practice squad. I think Christian Wilkerson is probably a practice squad player.
Ashton, I don't know what this means. It's totally untrue. Sal has always had it out for Bouchel for some reason. Actually, if you mean in a positive way, absolutely. I have talked up Shane Bouchel and how much this team loves his moxie. I remember Brandon Bean saying how much they love what he brings to the table. Unfortunately, he was hurt last year at a preseason game. I've always loved Shane Bouchel, except for the fact that I've always said that he's probably not going to make a roster. That's okay. Just the analysis of it, but no way. I would say, listen, and he gave an incredible post-game interview on the field with me after the game. It was so good. It was so emotional. I love Shane Bouchel and what he brings to the table. I just don't think he's an NFL quality quarterback. And
I mean, respectfully,
on the practice squad, maybe.
Respectfully to this person's criticism, he's the worst quarterback they've had on the roster.
Oh, see, you have it out for Shane Bouchel, pal.
No, I don't have it out for. It's me. Just it's the real like is.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
Not better than Josh Allen, obviously, right? But he's not, I don't think he's a good enough quarterback to be a legitimate NFL backup, at least not right now. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just saying order of operations here, like, there's only so many guys that you can have. So that, I don't think that means you've had it out for Shane Bouchel if you've said you don't think that he's going to make the team. And it's that just, would also mean you're right, by the way, if you didn't think he was going to make the team.
Can we talk about the Jordan Phillips thing? Let's just kind of walk through the timeline here. So
sure.
On Tuesday, August 26th is FanDuel's Future Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race. I'm going to take Lamar Jackson this year to bring it home for a third time. Crown your champion in August. I'm going to go with a Baltimore pick again. I think it's about time that they cap the season off with the Lombardi. or parlay your division dark horse winners. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your call, your odds. Visit FanDuel app today and start planning your future bets now. Because future day is one day. It's one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 and older and present in select states for Kansas and affiliation with Kansas Star Casino, or 18 and older and present in D.C., Kentucky, or Wyoming. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit CCPG.org/chat in Connecticut, or visit MDGGamblingHelp.org in Maryland. Hope is here. Visit GamblingHelplineMA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
We find out on Sunday night. Sorry, was it Monday? Sunday night, right? I'm trying to think what day it was.
It was Sunday night.
Sunday night, we find out that Jordan Phillips is signing with the Buffalo Bills. Like, Tom Pelissero had it. Like, okay, this is kind of weird. And then I believe it was Ryan Talbot, maybe a couple others, said it's for the intention of signing with the 53-man roster. So we're like, wait a minute, what does that mean? Who are they moving on from? Larry Ogunjobi doesn't even count on the roster, but you could save cash. But why would you need to have the roster spot for him? You don't. Could it be for Daquan Jones? Could it be for Dwayne Carter? And that got us all thinking. Well, then the next night, me and a couple others learn, well, wait a minute. It's not for the 53. It is for the active roster, though. So it wasn't like that Ryan or anybody else was super wrong about that. It was for the current active roster, but the current 90-man roster. And then the team's intention was to release him, as they have, bring him back tomorrow on the practice squad. And the reason is because, at least since there was room on the 90, get him in a day or two early, get him in the weight room, get him in with the trainers, get him in with his coaches, his teammates. That's why they did it like that with Jordan Phillips. I think the overall point, though, of having Jordan Phillips on the practice squad is still interesting. And after everything's, all the dust is settled, Matt, I think the reason I've landed on is they don't have Larry Ogunjobi for 6 weeks. So they brought in another veteran defensive tackle to be on the practice squad.
It's the same conversation we just had about the like potential Trey White stuff with Dane Jackson of, if you know Ogunjobi is going to miss the first six games, you could use Jordan Phillips for three of those six games, wherever you think he's the best asset, keep him on the practice squad for the rest of the year. And then if for some reason you think you need to go back to him, then you could sign him to your active roster and make another move. For the practice squad, I love the Jordan. There's no, to me, risk involved with this move. Jordan Phillips is the only guy who got a sack in the AFC Championship game. The last real game the Bills played, Jordan Phillips made a very crucial sack on the Chiefs' last offensive drive to force a third and long that they did not convert on. You know, he could be a hero if they win that game and go on and do something. So, yeah, no, I have no issue. Lauren posts about Hamler. Hamler is fascinating to me because I think they love having the guy there. But I think if you're going to keep two or three receivers on the practice squad, I think you would want some younger guys with upside more than you would want KJ Hamler. Just because by now, I think teams kind of know what he, and the Bills would kind of know what he is. The only thing that I think he might have in his favor is the return stuff with the questions they have on their roster elsewhere.
Glad you brought up return. You know, I've said for quite a while, I believe that Brandon Codrington would make this team the main punt returner. And the biggest reason, be honest.
Did you think that it was looking a little dicey for a while? Cause I did.
No, never.
I thought it was.
Could you tell me, could you tell me at one point at all during preseason or training camp that you thought somebody else was overtaking him as the punt returner?
No, I never thought somebody else was overtaking him as the punt returner, but I thought all of the opportunities that were being dished out was maybe not a great sign. I guess they were, it almost felt like they were begging for somebody to beat him and that nobody else was.
Oh, I don't doubt that, but no one did. Like there was never a moment. There was never a moment where I felt Brandon Codrington wasn't the clear number one punt returner on this team. Mm-hmm. And that's why I would say it never got dicey for me. If I would have seen a guy do more, I would have been like, okay, because rightfully so, as I'm sure you would bring up, Brandon Codrington doesn't offer anything on defense. And if you can find somebody who can overtake him, who can give you a little bit more on either defense or offense, you have to think about keeping that player. So Brandon Codrington is kept as the main punt returner. Laviska Shenault is no longer on the team. Will he be on the practice squad? I don't know. Laviska Shenault, I thought for a brief hot moment, could even challenge for a roster spot along with Brandon Codrington, not as a punt returner, but just a kick returner, helping out on offense. And then Curtis Samuel came back, and then Laviska Shenault didn't really get much opportunity in the Tampa game, and it seemed like that was kind of gone pretty quickly.
Do you think if they could keep one, Shenault or KJ Hamler, who would they pick? I think Shenault.
Lunt, you said?
No. KJ Hamler or Laviska Shenault, who would they take on the practice squad if they could only have one?
It's a good question. I think maybe Shenault.
It's tricky.
A tough one, though.
It's tricky because practice squad, I feel like you're also just trying to elevate your room and vibes. And there's really there's really no way of quantifying that. And KJ Hamler is like the ultimate vibes guy. They adore him in that room. So that's a tricky one. So I mean, Zach Davidson's like on the practice squad. Like that one, I feel like you can write in Sharpie. He'll be there.
Here's a good question I want to address. You know, says, how secure is Shaq Thompson's spot? I'm going to say very secure. In fact, when he was signed, Matt, I've done kind of a 180 on him. When he was signed, I thought, okay, veteran guy, they want him here. See what he's got left in the tank. He's probably going to be maybe a practice squad guy, have a veteran around. I think this dude has a role on this team.
Oh,
not only is he like on the roster, I think he's playing. I think he could be on the field against the Baltimore Ravens week one. Because I think they want to do something to help stop Derrick Henry. And last year they played some base defense, including Dorian Williams. Now, is it Dorian Williams? Maybe it is. Maybe it's Shaq Thompson, big nickel. I think he fits that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think so too. My colleague Dom Tibbetts sat down with Shaq Thompson late last week and did a story on how, you know, he's appreciating the second chance and how coming to a new team has made him even more hungry to get back to a Super Bowl because he came up short when he was in Carolina. And he was saying all the right things, like, I got to make the team first and, you know, I'm not on the team just yet. But the way his teammates talked about him in the same story was not indicative of somebody who was fighting for a roster spot. It was indicative of this is a leader on and off the field. Like, there's something to be said about, hey, I really like that teammate. I think he's an awesome whatever. The way they talked about Shaq Thompson was he immediately makes our team better. I just think that, like, yeah, if they go into a 4-3, I think we might see Shaq Thompson on the field before we see Dorian Williams on the field. I don't think that's crazy.
You think, here's a comment. I'm going to say this is not correct, but thank you, Charles. Shaq first up for Milano, Williams for Bernard. Dorian Williams is a Will linebacker. He is not a Mike linebacker. He's not going to be in for Terrell Bernard. That's Joe Andreessen's spot. I think we're pretty secure on that, right?
Yeah.
Joe Andreessen is the backup middle linebacker. He's the backup to Terrell Bernard. I would give some space to maybe Shaq Thompson filling in for Matt Milano, but I still think that's Dorian Williams' spot. And Shaq is more of a, hey, when we need you somewhere or we got to go base set, that's where he comes in.
Yeah, for sure. I think the interesting thing here, I heard you talking about this on the radio today with Sean Dolak. And Sean Dolak, congratulations to him. Awesome story. West Seneca native, goes out and makes the Los Angeles Rams. Great story. Deserves all of the praise. We had Buffalo Joe last year. Now it's West Seneca Sean. You didn't say it like this, but I'll say it because I do think it's relevant. I don't feel super great about the depth at the Bills linebacker spot. Just in general, I feel like that's a position where they could go out and add somebody and it would make the room better.
Okay.
But then you immediately go to, well, then what a waste not drafting Sean Dolak. What a missed opportunity. If Sean Dolak was on this team, he would be doing the role that Joe Andreessen would be doing. Right.
He'd be competing for that role. I don't know.
That's what I mean. I don't think you would have both of those players. I'm saying I think they need if they go out and they add somebody else, I think they need a little bit of a different type of linebacker. And I think Shaq Thompson fits kind of what they needed in that linebacker room. And I think that they really appreciate the veteran presence there. Like, it's not as simple as, oh, but Sean Dolak, would, if he made the Rams, he would have made the Bills. Like, I just don't see it that way. Like, I think they were looking for a veteran who knows Sean McDermott's defense specifically, who has had a lot of success in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard a lot of that lately, which is I can't believe they didn't draft Sean Dolak. He would have beat out Joe Andreessen. I'm not convinced of that. The Bills, Joe Andreessen's been here for over a year. He understands everything about what goes into this defense. Now, you could make the argument long-term, a year from now, he would overtake him. That's fine. He would have been the fifth linebacker, and then it would have been a sixth linebacker even with Shaq Thompson there.
This is Bills fan 7883.
Let me go find
really eloquently. I like this. Shaq is for the big nickel packages as a third linebacker. Williams and Andreessen are still the respective backups. Shaq is a different tool for Babbage to use depending on the formations. I think that hits the nail on the head with how I feel about what Shaq. And that's why I'm saying I feel like his skill set is kind of suited to what the Bills were looking for, and this gives them a little bit of everything.
Yeah, great. Scott says he thinks Shaq is the current Lorenzo Alexander, but I'm going to say what Jason says, and I agree with Jason. Hoyt is more of the Lorenzo Alexander. He's had Michael Hoyt. Matt, if I had to pick one like preseason MVP on the defense, it might be Michael Hoyt, like best player. He was really good.
Okay. Ooh, that's who you'd go with?
I think I might. I think
he was out there a lot. He was out there a lot. So like he got more opportunities to make a play.
Ashton, our buddy Ashton comes back in after saying I was, you know, after Shane Bouchel. Uh-huh. You need to be more critical of Bean, B-E-A-N-E, by the way. Dolak was there to draft, and what did we get? Well,
that's not wrong. That is a totally fair criticism that they should have drafted. I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying I think the type of linebacker they needed was more of a skill set of a Shaq Thompson than another young linebacker competing for a depth and special teams role. Like I think Shaq Thompson provides them with a little bit more win now help. Now, you could say, well, what's the difference? Like Caden Prather didn't make the team. You could have just drafted Sean Dolak instead of Caden Prather, and you would have an opportunity to see what he could bring to the table. Absolutely, wholeheartedly agree. But, and I'm not defending Brandon Bean here, but if you're going to say this about Brandon Bean, you can say it about literally every other general manager, including the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams, who didn't draft him.
Didn't draft him for seven rounds. Nobody did. And he should have been drafted. He should have gone to bowl games. He wasn't. I mean, he's a football player.
He's been overlooked. He's been overlooked.
And I think he's going to have a nice NFL career. I also will tell you from information I've received that teams, including the Bills, multiple teams, were interested in him as a UDFA. Mm-hmm. But Sean Dolak chose to go to the Rams because he felt he had a better chance to play. And guess what? It was a great decision by him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, look how it worked out. And for what it's worth, the run the UB Bulls have had on linebackers with Joe Andreessen and Sean Dolak, Red Murdoch is the 90th ranked player in the country on ESPN right now. Like, he is going to be drafted. Like, Andreessen and Dolak didn't get drafted. There were some size limitations there. They were both overlooked. They both should have been drafted. Red Murdoch will get drafted.
I mean, yeah, they've done a great job there. Matt, not this Matt, not our Matt, another Matt says Dolak wasn't even invited to the combine. True, but he should have been. That's the point. He should have been invited to the combine in the Senior Bowl.
Did you see the comment about Sean a second
Lewis
ago?
Lewis Sean. Yeah, here's the thing about Lewis Sean. Thank you, Elmer's Elmersville.
Elmer's
dead.
Evil Dead.
Elmer's Evil. I think that's it. How about trying to get Lewis Sean back in the practice squad for linebacker depth? Interesting. He is kind of listed as a safety. He was drafted as a safety. The Bills used him as a linebacker last year when they were there. Here's the thing about Lewis Sean that I would say. First of all, they have Shaq Thompson now. So I think that fills that role. So probably not what you're looking for. The other part of it is, I think the Bills were kind of pissed last year, to be honest with you, when Lewis Sean bolted for the Eagles after they kind of had him on their team and on their squad for 6 months and groomed him and were working with him. And
you
he had every right to
him though.
He had every right to do it. No doubt. Uh-huh. But I remember an interview, Sean McDermott was kind of asked about it, and he's like, yeah, it really hurts when you do that and a guy leaves, right? And yeah, maybe, I don't know, his agent, whoever, I don't know, I guess maybe that's a little too harsh to say it that way, but I just don't know if you'd want to revisit that knowing what happened last time. So why then think this time, hey, we're going to invest all this time in this guy and then he's going to leave again, possibly? That has to matter.
It's another thing, too, where I think the practice squad is a useful and important tool that can help build your team and your roster, and you got to be creative with how you do it. But I honestly think like the biggest thing with the practice squad is making sure you have guys in the room who you know complements the other guys you have in the room well, and two, are all about the team and all. And I'm not suggesting he's not. I'm just saying if those questions ever popped up, they wouldn't even consider it just because it's not worth the potential headache with specifically a practice squad. I mean, the practice squad is built for guys like KJ Hamler and Jimmy Charlo with like that type of mentality of like, I just want to do everything that I can to make this team better. Like,
and by
Jimmy
the way,
Charlo to me is the quintessential go on the practice squad, be there for a year, probably get elevated for a game or two if there's an injury to another linebacker, make a couple special teams play, and then be in a competition to be an actual player on the roster next year.
Elmer versus Evil Dead. That's how you say that. Thank you all for telling us that. Okay, great question here operationally, but I'm going to back up your point, what you just said about practice squad, and then we're going to get to something about the practice squad. What you said is true. Do you know what the biggest, most like biggest responsibility and important role is of a practice squad player?
Scout team.
Scout team. For you to get the offense ready if you're a defender, for you to get the defense ready if you're an offensive player, those guys act as the defender. So if you're the practice squad linebacker, your job is to act like a Ravens linebacker during practice next week. Like that's your job. And the more that you can accept that role and do it, it reminds me, has anyone ever seen the movie Rudy? I hope you have. Rudy, he gets the big guy, the big lineman comes in and goes, hey man, you're trying too hard. You're going to get everybody hurt out there. And he goes, hey, my job is to get you ready for the game. I'm not doing my job unless you're getting ready. And it's like, oh yeah. Okay. Great line. It's true. That's what the practice squad is for. It's to get the offense ready or the defense ready based on your role, mimicking the other team. That being said, not the third down comment. Hold on. Here we go. Bills fan. Just because you're on a practice squad and another team offers you a contract, you don't have to accept it. Asks the question, can you choose to stay in the practice squad if you like that program better? Yes, absolutely. I'll run through how this works. So let's say Matt Bove is on the Buffalo Bills practice squad and he's playing linebacker and I am the Atlanta Falcons. And I say, you know what? I really want that guy. I got to decide if I'm the Atlanta Falcons. If I want to go get him, I got to put him right in my 53. So I offer him a contract. Please come on the 53. And you're like, man, that's a lot of money. You do not have to accept it. But what happens is generally, Matt, your agent would tell the Bills, hey, we got this opportunity. We're going to go take it unless you guys bring them up yourself. Is there an opportunity here to do that? And then as the Bills, I would say, well, I don't really see a path for that. Okay, I'm leaving. Or I might say, look, stick around here, man. Your chance will come. You're in a good spot here. Okay, you convinced me, I'll stay. That's how it works.
Yeah, and I think a good example of this is a player like Jordan Phillips. Like Jordan Phillips told us at the end of last season that it was going to be Buffalo or bust for him in the future. I believe that's have the ability to negotiate up to $25,000 a week on the practice squad. You're talking about more than $400,000 a year to be in great shape and, you know, have somebody cook for you and give you free clothes and stuff. So like, you don't have to leave for like a player like him, who's made a lot of money, a couple hundred thousand dollars more. I mean, to some people for sure, you know, it would make sense, especially a younger player. But for a veteran, like you could see why a player like Dane Jackson or Jordan Phillips would want to stick around on the Bills practice squad as opposed to going to another team and then potentially lasting a couple weeks and then being right back in the same situation.
Question here, is Max allowed to participate? CB asked for the first 4 weeks. No, he has to sit out 4 weeks. Then he can participate. And then at any point, it doesn't have to be four. It could be five, it could be six. But at some point, they can put him on the field to practice. Then they have 21 days to activate him. Matt Bove, what is the scariest movie you've ever watched?
Oh, I don't watch scary. What is this comment? Too scared to talk Hamlin.
Wait, I was going to say, whatever the scariest movie is that are you more scared to talk about DeMar Hamlin making the team? Christopher says we are scared to talk about it.
He's, when Jordan Hancock is healthy, probably what, their fourth safety right now? Fifth? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's their third. I've said, it's funny because you have comments like this, and then you have other comments that say, I'm like the biggest DeMar Hamlin hater of all time. So I'm just trying to figure out where I am.
That means
you
do something right. When somebody like Chris goes, oh, you guys are scared to talk about DeMar Hamlin.
No,
and someone goes, you guys are DeMar Hamlin haters. That means you're doing it right. You're actually kind of analyzing it the right way, because you get half the people mad at you.
Christopher, here's my take. If DeMar Hamlin has to play an extensive amount of snaps as he's starting safety for the Buffalo Bills, it's going to not go well. Like, it might be a problem for them. But if he is strictly a backup and special teams contributor, then I have no issue with him on the roster, because that is what he was doing for a big chunk of his career. Like, okay, that's totally fine. Like, I think Jordan Hancock has potential. If Jordan Hancock didn't get injured, I thought he had a really outside chance at pushing Cole Bishop.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Jump for that starting safety job.
I agree.
I also think that they might shoot for the upside with a player like Jordan Hancock more than just lean on what they know with DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what there is to talk about with DeMar making the team, because I can't think we all kind of expected it because we saw it going that way. I was surprised. If you would have asked me back in May, okay, if you'd have asked me back in May to do a 53-man roster, I wouldn't have had DeMar Hamlin on it. I would have had Derek Forrest on it.
Yeah.
I would have. But what I saw through May, June, July, and August was DeMar Hamlin was overtaking Derek Forrest. Mm-hmm. Forrest just wasn't getting those opportunities. And when he wasn't making any plays. DeMar Hamlin actually did make a few plays. Nothing that's going to be, oh my God, wow, he needs to be starting. But no, I didn't think he would make the team back then. And then you could see that he was trending and he finally ultimately did make the team. And look, if the Bills moved on from DeMar Hamlin, that's fine. But you know who they're going to bring in to replace him? A guy just like him. Really, honestly, it's going to be pretty much a guy that has a limited upside, or else he wouldn't be a free agent walking around.
It's a weird thing to say, but if you took the name off of it, he would be the exact type of guy you would want in that role. How much experience he has in the league, the familiarity with Sean McDermott's defense, he can play special teams, but because last year he was very inconsistent with the starting snaps that he got, and it did not look great, people don't want him on the team. And I understand the criticism. I understand the frustration at times. But I think there's one thing of not wanting somebody on the roster at all, and there's another thing of like, oh, if he's going to be the fourth or fifth safety, I understand why they ultimately are keeping him on this roster.
I love your point you just made about if you just take the name away, because let me tell you something. If I said to you, if you didn't know who I was talking about, and I said, you know, this offseason, the Bills are going to sign a safety who started 14 games for a team that went to the AFC Championship last year and had two interceptions, but he also is limited athletically and can get beat sometimes. You'd be like, okay, what's wrong with that? Right. And sign him to pretty much a minimum contract. You'd be like, okay. And then I say, well, his name's DeMar Hamlin. No, don't do it. I think I agree with you on the way you say that. All right. Sal, not me, says, don't be shocked if Jordan Poyer comes back. I would be shocked if Jordan Poyer came back.
I would be very shocked.
I mean, unless Sal has some inside info we don't know about. I have not heard anything like that. I don't think you have, Matt, but I would not expect that at all.
Not anticipating that either. I think that they have made their actions have clearly shown that they are trying to get younger across the board.
Yes.
And I don't think that they would bring in a player who they thought was too old a year ago before he also had another year away from the organization.
We haven't really touched on defensive line. They have Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt suspended. Uh-huh. The defensive line that was kept is not a surprise to me. Uh-huh. At Oliver, Daquan Jones, Dwayne Carter, Sanders and Walker in the middle, Greg Rousseau, Joey Bosa, Epinesa, Javon Solomon, Landon Jackson on the edge. Now, maybe Landon Jackson doesn't get a game day jersey. That's, you know, perfectly understandable right now. We haven't seen enough of him to justify that. But where are you with their depth and what they have there at both defensive tackle and defensive end slash edge after what you've seen in the preseason and offseason?
You know, I don't feel... It's better than it's been, for sure. I don't know if it's going to be as simple as it's fixed, right? They did all this work in the draft and the defensive line, and I think you go, oh, well, now it's going to be great because they did all of this addition there with the second-round pick, the third-round pick, the fourth-round pick, Hoyt, Ogunjobi, all this stuff. I like the pieces that they have. I don't know how it'll all fit together. The one thing I will say is with specifically Joey Bosa, he has been maybe my most pleasant surprise of the summer. He has been really, really solid. I think we knew he was going to be solid. I don't know if we knew he was going to be to this level. His big thing is the injuries. If he got banged up, I really wouldn't feel any better about the Bills' defensive line than I did last year. Because then we're talking about a rotation. Landon Jackson hasn't shown me enough at all. I don't even know if he's going to be active on game days. Hoyt is gone for the first 6 weeks. So now we're talking about AJ Epinesa, who I think is a totally serviceable role defensive end. But if he needed to be elevated into a bigger role, I don't know if he's ready for that. I don't know if Javon Solomon is ready for that. So with the edge position specifically, I really don't feel any different than I did last year, aside from Joey Bosa. And if he stays healthy, then I think that's a really good thing. With defensive tackle, I feel like there is a lot more depth there. I think there's a lot to be unlocked with a player like TJ Sanders. Yeah. There's a lot to be unlocked with a player like Deion Walker. I think the rotation is going to be a much healthier mix. And I also think collectively we've written off Dwayne Carter too soon. Like, he's going into his second year.
Yeah.
It's like, it was mind-boggling to me that there were people like, oh, Dwayne Carter's going to get cut. Like, they're not cutting a second-year third-round pick. Right. Defensive tackle, when they've got another player at defensive tackle who's suspended. They're just not doing it. So I feel better about the depth at defensive tackle than I do on the edge, but I think the edge position in general has more upside.
We can continue to talk here, but I want to tell everybody about something really cool coming up with both Matt and I over the next couple of weeks. We are close to 6,000 viewers, by the way, on this particular
episode
already. Really? So pretty crazy, right, to think about. Thank you so much for all of you coming. But check this out. You guys can come join us. We're going to be doing a couple of live, on-location, Always Game Day in Buffalo podcasts over the next couple of weeks. And we're not going to be doing it in Rochester this time like we were during training camp. We'll be right here in Buffalo, or at least close by. The first one is going to be this Friday. All right, this Friday, we're going to be down in Irving, the Seneca Nation there. That is Signals Gas Station. That's right, because you're going to get 10 cents off a gallon when you come down. And we're going to have WGR swag out. We're going to have Paula's Donuts on hand give some donuts out, Max, Matt. So we're going to do that. That's this Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. down Route 20, Signals in Irving. We're going to be there doing this show live, broadcasting live, and saying hi to you. And then next Wednesday, very cool, Matt. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be at the BFLO store on Transit Road, Transit Town. That's Wednesday next week, 6:30. All right, we're going to be there. I'm going to be setting up around 6 o'clock. We're going to be there till about 8 o'clock. So let's say 6 to 8, we'll be there. We're doing the show like 6:30 to 7:30 next Wednesday. Matt and I are going to be there. The BFLO store, Transit Town. That's going to be super cool.
Yeah, for sure. Excited to do some shows here and not just in Rochester, right? Because that's kind of what we've done the last couple of years with training camp starting. So excited about all of that. I'm definitely going to be filling up my gas tank for 10 cents less a gallon. I didn't know about that little deal, but I'm not going to fill up my tank until then. So that's going to be nice. So yeah, no, I'm excited. Honestly, like, we're in crunch time. We're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the season. So I'm fired up. I'm very much ready for football.
Allie says, how long is the window open for the players on waivers before a team can sign them to their practice squad? Tomorrow at noon it ends, Allie, noon Eastern time. All waiver claims must be in by tomorrow at noon. And actually works where it goes by last year's draft order, this year's draft order. So the Tennessee Titans will have the first waiver claim on anybody, and it doesn't reset, Matt. So if Tennessee says, oh, we want this guy, they get him. Oh, we want that guy too, they get him. They don't go to the back of the order after that. They can literally claim five guys off waivers if they want. And the Bills have the 30th pick, so literally 29 other teams will get their shot at every guy before the Bills do if they want them.
Mission Rosary LLC. Let's end with this one. Again, who gets cut with those guys when those guys come back? A lot of it would be dependent on injuries.
Oh, yeah. I think it's way too early to think about that.
Yeah, I would say it'll all depend, because there will be injuries. It's just, where are they injured? What positions do they have in excess of guys? If everybody's healthy on the defensive line, I would imagine they probably move on from somebody on the defensive line, but not necessarily, or wide receiver, right? Like, that's why it's important to say the initial 53, because the 53 can change at any time. It's just the initial 53.
I don't know. I just said this, didn't I? Didn't I just say it's tomorrow waivers end, not tonight? Sal is wrong. I don't know which Sal they're talking about. I just said that. They end tomorrow.
This is the guy who's been coming at us the entire
time. I don't know. This person, Ashton, go to sleep. Come back next time. All right. We'll show some of your comments again, because for some reason you've been all over the place and pretty wrong tonight. But that's okay. We appreciate you coming aboard. I was on Mark Schlereth's podcast today, The Stinking Truth. It was really cool. Going to upload that to the YouTube page at Sal Sports, but you can find Mark Schlereth's podcast as well, The Stinking Truth podcast. And we talked Buffalo Bills, and we just talked a lot of X's and O's and football, and, you know, Mark's an old lineman, and we talked about the matchup in the run game. It was really cool. If you're super into, like, football X's and O's, go check it out. Stinking Truth podcast I was on with Mark Schlereth. Also, next Wednesday, when Matt and I are at the BFLO store, again, Matt, what time are we at the BFLO store?
Six to eight.
We're going to have Nick Ryberg there. Nick owns Sojourn Travel Advisors. If you haven't heard the ads, we're going on a cruise, folks, next May. Me, Thurman Thomas, Don Beebe, Steve Tasker, Butch Roll, Scott Norwood. We're going to celebrate Thurman's 60th birthday together. TSE Buffalo is going to have items on board, memorabilia. We're doing a meet and greet night, doing a dinner night. We're going to be doing trivia, dance parties, all this kind of stuff. Nick Ryberg of Sojourn Travel is going to be with us at the BFLO store to tell us all about it. But you need to get in now, because spots are selling and you can get an early bird discount. WGR550.com. Check it out, WGR550.com. Matt, you need to go on this cruise, man.
I think we need to convince somebody that we need to do the podcast at sea. Like, every episode, doing the podcast from a different
location. We could do it.
Location. Yeah, I mean,
you need to come on this podcast.
Have your people talk to my people.
Okay, we need to do that. But I hope everybody can do that. What do you guys got going on over at Channel 7 with the ramp up to the season coming up this week? And next week
we did so we've got Leading the Charge. So that's our Monday show. We have our season preview episode this upcoming Monday, where we will all give our predictions. So it'll be myself, Joe Biscaglia, and Howard. So Howard will be picking the Bills season, not the individual Bills games.
Okay.
So I'm interested.
That's kind of trademarked on WGR, maybe. I don't really know.
Exactly. I was going to say. So yeah, so that's coming up. And then once the season starts, it becomes an hour-long show every Monday night from 7 to 8. So yeah. We're excited, and you know, pretty soon into the season, we get a couple games on Channel 7 right off, like the Dolphins game week 3. If you don't have Amazon and you live in the Buffalo TV market, you can watch the game on WKBW, so that's nice. And then same thing with the Houston game later on. So yeah, it's just like, it's crazy. I called somebody from the Sabres today because I wanted to figure out when their training camp schedule is going to be out. And I was like putting together the schedule for September for our sports department. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. I was like, not only am I planning football, now I'm also planning, hey, UB football starts on Thursday, and hey, the Sabres start training camp in a couple weeks, and hey, this is going on.
It's
and
crazy.
It's just, it all happens.
And fantasy drafts.
So fast. Jay Wood, stadium show is behind a paywall. It has never been behind a paywall. Ask Matt if his stadium show is still behind a paywall. It quite literally has never been behind a paywall. I work at a local news station. So there's
Matt,
like literally
Matt out here charging for stadium
shows. And the whole MO local news is it doesn't cost you more money to go and view this stuff.
It's literally just all free.
There's a 30-second ad before it starts, but that's just so like I can buy my daughter Cheerios, essentially.
I mean, yeah. It's a kind of funny there. What else? I was going to say, that's hilarious. Don't forget the rally on the River, Sal. That is September 6th. I'll be joining Sports Talk Saturday out at Riverworks on Saturday, September 6th, the day before the opener. We got a lot going on out there. It's going to be pretty awesome. TSE is going to be out
there. September 6th?
Yeah.
Is it 7th? 6th? 7th?
6th. The 7th is the opener, pal. It's Sunday night, the 7th.
My sister gets married that day.
September Your sister 6th. Gets married on the 6th.
Saturday, September 6th.
And then you're coming back. So where's the wedding?
Geneva.
Oh, Geneva.
Not okay. Like Geneva, New York. Not like the other.
Not Switzerland?
Not Switzerland. No. That would be a tough one to get back for. No, yeah, she's getting married. Congratulations to my sister and soon-to-be brother-in-law. So I will be heading out there after practice on Thursday. I am strategically figuring out how I can get there for the start of the NFL season Thursday night. Friday night will be the rehearsal dinner. Saturday is the wedding itself. Sunday morning, my mom is going to have a big breakfast, like a football-themed breakfast, because everybody's mostly coming in from like either Buffalo or Binghamton. That's where his family's from. So it's like a Bills-themed breakfast as everybody gets ready for the season opener that night. I'll drive back, probably try and take a quick nap, and then be heading out to the stadium. I will be that day, that Sunday. Those hours leading up to the game will be like just so the anticipation is so crazy.
I'm looking forward to the drive from Geneva back to Buffalo. what you put on the playlist.
Somebody said that breakfast behind a paywall. Yeah, that breakfast I think was definitely behind a paywall, paid for by my mother. So thanks, Mom.
Job, thank you very much to end on a great, great, great note. And yeah,
thanks a lot. Oh, did you see that thing about Syracuse that they're coming to the stadium or the arena?
Oh yeah, that's gonna be an exhibition basketball game.
Yeah,
at KeyBank Center, and we also got a football game, James Syracuse against Tennessee Saturday. Matt, that's a lot of orange. That's in Atlanta, by the way. It's a lot of orange in one stadium. Syracuse against Tennessee. Syracuse is 13.5-point underdogs. I don't expect a victory, but you know. Also, hey, real quick, Lockport Saturday. I'm gonna come out to Lockport Saturday. I'm going to the Keenan card show, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be signing like autographs and taking pictures with people, along with Joe Andreessen and Fred Jackson, I think, is there. It's going to be really cool, actually.
Do you go to Lockport very often?
I've been to Lockport Country Club to play. I don't know where the but I'm going to be going to this card show, and they've asked me to come by, and
you know what you got to do?
Take some pictures and sign some things, and it'll be really cool to be there on Saturday.
You got to go to Reed's Hot Dog Stand.
Okay. I've been
Reed's
there.
Reed's Hot Dog Stand. Have you been there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Reed's Hot Dog Stand is serious.
Yeah.
A Niagara County native. That is a place that was always, whenever you played against Lockport for sporting events, we would always bring the bus there afterwards.
I love that. All right. We have stalled long enough to give us over 6,000 viewers here. We appreciate that. We're at 6,100 plus right now. Thank you so much. We'll be back again one more time. We'll be on location at Signals Gas Station, Route 20 in Irving. Head down there. That is Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Come by. 10 cents off your gallon of gas. Paula's Donuts is going to be on hand. WGR, we're going to have some swag out there. And then next Wednesday, 6 to 8, we're going to be at the BFLO store, Transit Town. Come on out. Say hi to Matt and I. Thanks a lot for joining us here tonight. It's always game day in Buffalo.
Two quick, funny little anecdotes before we say hi. Friday night of last week, I went out in Lewiston. It was Jazz Festival. My wife and daughter came, but they went back a little bit earlier and I hung out with some friends. I got an Uber. As I was in the Uber, the guy asked me a question and I responded and his head like snapped back and he was like, "Oh my God." He was like, "I listen to you and Sales podcast every week." And I was like, "Oh, that's so cool." And then we talked about the Bills. His name was John. He wanted me to say hi. So John says hi, Sal. And then when I was talking about my sister's wedding, when she met with the DJ for the wedding, he was like, "Bove, are you related to Matt Bove from the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast?" And she was like, "Yeah, that's my brother." He's like, oh, I'm a huge Bills fan. I listen every single week. So the DJ of the wedding apparently might be listening or watching this right now, which is kind of crazy.
I love it. Don asks, what's the address in Lockport for Saturday? I'll be there Saturday from 1 to 2. That's my time to be there to sign. It's 433 Locust Street in Lockport. You know where that is?
No, but I heard it's always game day in Buffalo. We'll be behind a paywall soon. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Derek. We appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.